This episode of Risen Motherhood is brought to you by Valmarie Paper, creator of prompted prayer journals designed to help women focus on God in a world pulling them in different directions. Simply fill out the prayer journal at the start of the month, and you have your prompts to pray a few lines all throughout your day. Valmarie Paper has a prayer journal for whether you're just starting a prayer habit or you need a new routine. From now through December 31st, get 10% off any non-spiral bound item in their shop with the code RM10. We're so thankful for Valmarie Paper's sponsorship.
Motherhood is hard. One second, we think we're doing a good enough job, and the next, we feel like the worst mom on the planet. Which is why we need the refreshing truth of the gospel to be repeated over and over, giving us hope in the everyday moments. So, mama, whether you're sipping cold coffee or doing a sink full of dishes, we hope you'll find truth, encouragement, and laughter here. This is the Risen Motherhood Podcast. Thanks for joining us.
Welcome back to another episode of Risen Motherhood. I'm Emily, here with my sister-in-law, Laura.
Hey, friends.
And this is another one of our best of episodes. We're really, really excited to share it with you.
Yeah. So today we're talking about loving the difficult mom in your life. I think the show title is something like, oh, I want to do it that way, which is kind of the epitome of motherhood at some level, where you feel like so often we are really trying to navigate hard situations and hard decisions. And some are small, some are big, but we all do things really differently. Even like I think about Emily and I, and we're very, very similar. But at the same time, she and I have things that we do differently, and it doesn't necessarily make it wrong, but I think sometimes you can kind of either face tension in those moments where you see that somebody does things differently, or you kind of can feel like, well, why are you doing it that way? Should I do it that way? Is this better? Is my way better? So there's a lot of, there can be kind of some judgment and difficult things, I think, when you see people doing different things than you.
Yeah, for sure. And Laura and I were talking before we hit record about just how we've grown in this, maybe a little bit over
Absolutely.
The years.
I feel like I have a lot. I mean, not to pat myself on the back or anything, but just in that sense of I can see that this isn't nearly as big of a struggle as it perhaps was when we recorded.
Right. And we were trying to understand, like, why is that? And I think some of it for me is just growing to see each woman, each mom, as somebody who is struggling with fear, is struggling with insecurity, is wrestling through her own pressure that she feels to do it right and to do it well. And we all want to love our kids, but we're doing it, you know, in the context of the fall. We are sinners. So each person is struggling with their own sin and their own sin tendencies. And then we're also struggling with a lot of external circumstances. Sometimes there is pain from the past. There's things that have been done to us that we're struggling to overcome, or there's just all kinds of factors that are involved. So I think one thing I've tried to do more is to look at moms who are doing things differently in a way that I wouldn't do it with compassion and curiosity before I jump straight to a big eye roll.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you start to realize that motherhood, the things that we do and the decisions that we make in motherhood, there is a lot more complexity underneath it. Mm-hmm. And just like you're saying, I like that, of just this idea that there's a whole backstory to a person's life of things that they've experienced and are currently experiencing, that I think when you start to recognize that and realize, like, you don't know the whole story for that mom that you might be having a problem with, or you might be feeling like you're under her judgment, or you feel like you're judging her, whichever, but you start to realize, no, I know, because I've been around long enough that, like, I don't know her whole story and she doesn't know mine. And if we did, then you probably would understand more why they're making those decisions. You would be more sympathetic and compassionate. You might be like, hey, those are good choices for you, you know, and I'm glad that you're able to do those things. Or you might be able to say, I know why I'm doing what I'm doing. And so I don't have to feel like a comparison trap with you.
Right. And I think another thing that has helped me, that Laura, you and I were agreeing on, is just focusing on our own faithfulness, being willing to constantly go back and just evaluate before the Lord, God, is there anything that you would have me change? Or is there anything that I can turn from? And be willing to focus on how we can love our own children well and the circumstances that He's given us, instead of constantly looking outward and, you know, evaluating our friends or evaluating the other person on social media that you ran across. That it's a chance for self-evaluation. And I've also been turning to prayer a lot lately, particularly when somebody comes to mind that I just think I'm frustrated with that or I don't understand that, is to stop and pray for them, to pray that God would bless them, to pray that God would reveal any sin that they have, that he would encourage them in their walk with him if they're saved. You know, just all of those things. Pray for their salvation. I just think that really reshapes and reframes how I think about someone when I pray for them.
Yeah, I think for me, it often comes down, and Emily's heard me say this like a billion times, but like I answer to God for the things that I do. And I am so thankful that I don't have to answer for another mom. I only am being asked to be faithful in my life. And I think that that has been a real comfort for me as I've grown in motherhood and in professionally and as a wife and all sorts of things, is this idea that like, I think when I look at other women and I see what they're doing and I like think, well, this is what I would do, or this is how I would handle that, or this is how I would be faithful in that situation. It's like, no, I'm never going to be faithful in somebody else's life. God hasn't asked that of me. He has only asked certain things of me, and I'm responsible for those things. And I think that helps put some blinders on when we start to get pulled around by comparison or judgment with other moms, that even when perhaps someone gives you a biting remark or makes a snide comment or behaves in a way that you're just like, I really do not understand that, you can feel secure knowing that, you know, you are taking care of your actions, your, that you are just being faithful to scripture to live out the mission that God has given you. And of course, there's always a chance for improvement and there's always ways that like you can do better and repent of your sin and all those kind of things, but also just resting in the grace that God's given us and being thankful for Jesus and knowing that you have your own personal relationship with him and you don't have to live it out through somebody else.
Amen. Well, if you are looking for tips on how to be faithful, watch this transition.
Yeah, that was good. I know where you're going.
We hope you subscribe to our monthly newsletter. It comes out on the first Friday of every month, and we come together as a team and try to just fill it with things that are going to help you look to Christ. Because, right, ultimately, we are comparing ourselves to the Lord, and we are hoping and resting fully in Christ and what he's done on our behalf so that we would be right with the Lord. And we have practical tips on how to do that. There's a motherhood tip. There is a thoughtful letter. There are links to podcasts and articles and books and
music.
All kinds of things that we hope are just help you redeem your own time and be faithful with what God has given you.
Yep, absolutely. If you'd like to sign up for that newsletter, head to rismotherhood.com/newsletter and you can sign up there. All you need is like your first name and your email address. And we promise we won't spam you. We really do just try to reserve it for a few special things as well as the monthly newsletter. So,
all right, well, let's get to the show.
Let's do it.
Welcome back to another episode of Risen Motherhood. I'm Emily Jensen here with my sister-in-law, Laura Wiffler.
Hello, hello.
So today we are going to tackle a topic we've had a lot of questions about from different angles. Mm-hmm. We're trying to sum them all up of like, hey, how do we love moms that are different than us and moms that can be kind of hard to love and hard to be around because of maybe their opinions or their parenting style?
Yeah, exactly. I'm sure every mom who's listening is like, oh, I know the mom. I was like thinking of some mom that's difficult to love. But, you know, it's really normal and natural for us to want to find moms that are similar to us. And, you know, often I think whether we admit it or not, we're always observing another mom. And, you know, what does she dress like? How many kids does she have? What's her age? How does she talk? Things like that. And I think we're kind of looking for commonalities or if we're going to like her. And it's not necessarily a bad thing as long as it doesn't sort of ease into sizing up a mom or judging her. But it's just kind of a natural human thing is to kind of make observations and to see like, oh, they look like me, or wow, they look really different than me. And so we have sort of that beginning foundation that I think that we all do. But then on top of that, especially in motherhood, even someone who looks just like you from the outside, maybe it's your best friend and suddenly you guys both became moms and you're like, we don't even recognize each other anymore. Because there are so many different areas, especially gray areas, where I think we can all take really firm stances on, and we can even surprise ourselves with some of the decisions that we make. So things like, you know, feeding your child, breastfeeding, bottle feeding, organic, not organic, how hard you tried doing it, feeding toddlers, you know, are you from the clean your plate club? Are you the eat your age club? Are you a no thank you
by, you know, like kind of ridiculous, all the types we have. I don't know. What else is there, Em?
I think like sleep is a big one. Yeah. That's usually an early conversation about moms. I was just at a baby shower not long ago. And, you know, she was gifted like a couple different books that were even different philosophies. And I was like, oh, it's going to be fun, you know, to navigate through that. And I mean, even if, you know, well, let me say this. The reality is I literally don't know anyone who parents exactly like I do. You know?
Yeah. That's a good point.
Even
me too.
The people that are most similar to me that I can think of still have a ton of differences. So yeah, it's just a reality that we have to learn to live with really fast as a mom.
Yeah. And I think in every area, we can all think of a mom who's maybe more extreme than us and less extreme than us, you know? And so we can, generally speaking, probably choose to kind of live in harmony with one another and recognize the differences, but be cool with it. But every once in a while, we meet a mom or there's someone in our life who either has an incredibly strong opinion that they enjoy sharing, or they, sometimes a mom, this kind of goes to another level, but sometimes the way a mom parents can inconvenience or even interfere with the way that you want to parent. So an example of this would be maybe a mom has a higher tolerance for, you know, rough play or what they consider fun play. Maybe they allow their kids to watch a more mature show than you would choose whenever your kids are at their house. Or maybe you've got a friend or a family member that watches your children and, you know, they're just not quite listening to some of your requests that you have. So you're consistently seeing behaviors in your child that like maybe you wouldn't allow, but because they're watching your child, it can be hard to know exactly what to do with it or how to deal with that kind of conflict.
Yeah. I'm just laughing because this is so complex. But one thing we just wanted to make clear really quick as we are talking about dealing with differences with other moms is that today on this show, we are not primarily talking about situations where there is potential harm that could come to your child or there is a person in your life who's making really destructive choices. You definitely have to protect your kids and put up good boundaries. And there may be people that you need to be out of relationship with for a while or that your children can't be around. We know that those situations exist. But on today's show, we are primarily sticking to some of those examples that Laura just gave with moms that are just kind of hard to understand or hard to be patient with. But anyways, we just wanted to offer that caveat before we get too much further into the show. So I think what we're going to try to get at the heart of today is like, what do you do? Like, should you just cut these people out of your life? And, or if you can't get rid of them, maybe their family, you know, should you just avoid them? And as we know, the gospel applies to everything and God's word has principles for processing everything, including this issue. So we're going to try to just think through today a little bit. Like, what does the gospel say to these types of situations? Kind of maybe we can start the conversation and then
you'll have to find a way to finish it.
This is definitely high level, ladies.
So looking at creation, you know, Adam and Eve were created to live in perfect harmony with each other and with God and to worship him. And everybody was on the same page. You know, there was no guilt or shame or conflict, things like that. And if we look at the Trinity, I think we also see how the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit are all a picture of that perfect relationship and perfect community that God models. So certainly God values and originally created for all of us to live in peace with one another in healthy relationship.
So because of the fall, we know that sin entered and our relationships became broken and severed between one another and also with God. And we weren't just hard to be with, but actually it was impossible for God to have a relationship with us because of his holiness and because of our sin. And so I think it's important to remember that it's not just this person that maybe is coming to mind right now that's hard to love. You yourself are hard to love. And I know it's a hard truth. I mean, it's hard for me to hear because I'm like, everybody should love me, you know? But what's funny is that we might just be that difficult person in someone else's life and we don't even realize it. So sin, what it does is it levels all of us onto an equal playing field and no one becomes better than another person. And so I think that's an important thing to remember as we talk through this today is like seeing, okay, yes, you can think about this person that you want to love better because there are some difficulties, but also really doing a heart check and seeing, hey, where am I being that mom as well?
Yeah. And I think kind of the reverse side of that is sometimes when we meet a mom and she seems more extreme and we feel like this inner need to be like, she's wrong. She's not thinking about this rightly. It's kind of a backwards way of stroking our own pride, like Laura's saying, of needing that validation that like we're more right. We have things together a little bit more than they do. And so we can kind of give ourselves these like brownie points or, you know, like, I am somehow better than this other mom. But I was thinking the other day, it'd be like owing somebody $1 million and then playing Monopoly to try to win them back. Mm-hmm. And every time you win at Monopoly, you like give them your Monopoly money. And they're like, well, that's great. I'm glad you're good at Monopoly, but you haven't paid back any of your debt. Like, and the same is true. Once our relationship with God has been severed, there is nothing we can do to earn favor with him in our mothering. And so it doesn't really matter if we're more right about the food choice or about the bedtime or whatever.
Yeah, maybe you are more right, but it doesn't really matter. And that's why we needed Jesus to come to atone for our sin, to atone for these areas of pride or despair that we have. And so what comes with Christ's atonement on the cross is that because we have now been loved, we can now love others with a deeper well of patience and understanding that never runs out because it comes from the source, from Jesus Christ. And so we need to look at the person and the work of Jesus and have that inform and motivate our love for other people. You know, even just thinking about Jesus' examples in the Gospels, I mean, he was always seeking out the unlovable, the hard to love. He touched really gross things. He surrounded himself with the outcast. He found the broken and the weary people, and he called them to himself. He called them his own. And so we can model that because of what Christ did for us.
Yeah. And I think another point in redemption is just acknowledging that God is just and he is the just judge. We look on outward appearance, but he is looking on the heart. And someday every heart motivation is going to be exposed. And when we are trusting in Christ, we're also trusting God that it's not up to us to be like the mommy moral police.
Yeah.
God is taking care of that. He's seen everything. So we can be gentle. We can be patient, knowing we don't know the whole picture. We don't know all of that friend's circumstances. We don't know everything that's going on, but God does. And we can gently and lovingly over the course of a long time point that person to Christ.
Yeah. I think that when we find our identity in Christ, like we come back to so frequently on this show, when our worth and our value isn't tied up in what another person's opinion is or how they treat our kids or, you know, what we think that they're doing or not doing, we finally live in freedom just being thankful that, hey, God made us all different and I don't have to look like that person or I don't have to like carry my feelings in what that person does. There's a lot of freedom when we remember the disordered love of our hearts as, is it Augustine who says that? maybe shouldn't have quoted that on the podcast, but you know, we have to reorder them to putting God as our first and foremost priority so that our identity is found in Christ and therefore we're not relying on other people to fill us up.
All right. Deep breath, everyone. Yeah. I think that was hopefully a fly overview of just how the gospel can encourage us in these situations. But practically, you're still like, hey, though this person is still there.
They still exist.
What do I do? What are some practical steps that we can take in terms of managing these relationships? And I think, first of all, exactly like what we just did, try to remember and rehearse the gospel. And the more that we learn about God through his word and the more we understand what things are important to God and what things matter eternally, it just helps put some of these non-eternal things in perspective and in their proper place. And also, I think studying scripture and knowing the gospel helps us know the difference between clear commands of God and things that are just black and white, right and wrong, versus areas that would be considered like a disputable matter. It's a gray area. We have freedom to kind of, you know, make those decisions. And what really matters is our heart attitude. So it's important to just be saturating ourselves in truth so that we can know what perspective to have.
Exactly. And as you're kind of thinking about, okay, here's how I want to maybe deal with this situation, keeping the gospel in mind, I think it's also remembering what you want to be known for, mm-hmm. and really doing a heart check before you do any approaching or any talking to anybody, is to say, like, am I the hard to love mom? Like, am I being overbearing? Or am I being too sensitive in this situation? Mm-hmm. So I think that it's really important mm-hmm. to do that self heart check, kind of as Emily was saying, of knowing the gospel allows you to do a correct and accurate heart check. Then remembering going forward, what are you going to be known for? Do you want to be known for peace and grace, or discord and dissension?
And pray. I mean, think about the scripture about getting the log out of your own eye. I think prayer and meditation on scripture is one of the ways that we can sit down and be like, God, can you help me be patient with this person? And a lot of times he will even reveal areas of our own lives mm-hmm. that we need to repent or be more thoughtful about as well.
Exactly. And I think then when, again, looking at a situation and thinking about, hey, is this something that I need to talk to someone about? Do I just let this go? You know, I think that's kind of the common tension. I think it's really choosing your battles wisely, and if at all possible, letting it go. I think mm-hmm. we can all look back on a time when we were new moms, or, you know, maybe you experienced something new and it was for the first time that you went through it. And we all might do things a little bit differently. We maybe would have spoken with a little bit mm-hmm. less confidence, or we wouldn't have talked about certain things in certain ways. And so I think it's really important that we remember we all have foolish behavior at certain times, and we don't realize until later what we should or shouldn't have mm-hmm. done. So try to remember that a mom, especially if she's experiencing something for the very first time, she'll eventually probably come to her own conclusions and realize mm-hmm. that maybe she's being a little extreme on a certain point. And it's not your job to be her Holy Spirit or to convict her. So unfortunately, for a season, you may just have to endure a mom that is difficult for you to love in your life, and just pray that God will help them to see kind of the error of their ways and giving you grace and patience to endure it.
Mm-hmm. And I think there's this natural tendency to just like avoid hard people yeah. and hard situations. And we'll get into some of the even more practical here in just a minute of something that seems really strong. But just in general, like, find ways to reach out to those people. Find ways to love them and bear with them and seek to understand.
Yeah.
Asking questions. Get to know them. You might be surprised by what you learn. And I know there's been several times where I've kind of pressed into someone's differences for me as a mom, and then I've really benefited for it.
Yes.
And if anything, it's just given me more understanding for people who are different than me. And I think God has just used it to show me, hey, we can be unified in our goal for the gospel and have different ways of doing things, and we can still love and respect one another.
Yeah. So, you know, and here we kind of move to some of those more difficult situations where it's something that you really feel like God is leading you to talk to that person. Mm-hmm. How do you know if that's correct? And then how do you go about that? We get a lot of emails about this from moms. And so we want to say up front, this is super case by case. And this is not yes. something that we can tell you, hey, this is what you should do. You're for sure right. You might not be right that you should approach that person. So please see these as guidelines, not solutions. So start out with prayer, as we continually go back to. Make sure that your heart is aligned correctly. And then maybe talk with your husband or an older, wiser woman. Mm-hmm. If you are a single mom, or maybe talk to both, you know, your husband and an older, wiser woman, mm-hmm. and explain the situation, explain all that. They're able to ask you the back end details and get to know a lot more of the story. And maybe see it from a more objective point of view than what you're able to see it. And so see what they think about what some of the right next steps are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think another really practical thing you can do is just be preventative and proactive yes. about things. When you're going to go into a situation where you know you're going to be around another mom or caregiver who has some really different opinion than you, you can go ahead and mentally know your boundaries before going into that situation. Prep your children, be on the same page with your husband or whoever you're there with, and have a game plan in advance for how you're going to handle it. And resolve that, you know what, you may get some pushback, but you're going to kind of stand firm and be gracious and talk through some of those scenarios. I know my husband and I have had a lot of situations like that where it wasn't that big of a deal, but we had a boundary that we were wanting to keep. And it was really just as simple as a conversation beforehand, yeah. or even a conversation with the other people beforehand. And it didn't turn out to be that big of a deal at all.
Yeah. I mean, I've said this before on the show, but communication is so huge. It's amazing the things that we'll kind of bury down and just kind of assume that, you know, this person will get through osmosis, you know, that they don't, you don't like what's happening or what's going on. And really, like, it's amazing what can happen when you sit down in a room with someone and sort of just say like, hey, this one's kind of been bothering me, and maybe, you know, kind of blaming it on yourself. I think it's really important just to communicate and maybe write down your thoughts ahead of time. Mm-hmm. Be very careful with what offenses you choose to bring up. Don't start nitpicking and going after the little things, and really just make sure that you're framing things in a way that doesn't make that person feel like they're on the judgment seat or on trial. Be very gentle with their heart, treating it as you would want your heart to be treated. So I think those are some practical things. If you need to get to that point of having a conversation and you feel like the Lord is affirming it through some of these other avenues, those are some tips as you approach a conversation with someone.
Whew, which I hope you don't have too many of those conversations you have to have in your life. But yeah, I think just overall remembering again, in the gospel, we are undeserving of God's grace, and he showed us grace and mercy, and we want to and get to show that to other people as well. So, all right. I don't know if we put the mommy roars to rest on this show or not, Laura.
We solved all the world's problems. What are you talking about?
All right. Well, thanks again for joining us. If you want to find more resources, you can get those on our show notes at risenmotherhood.com. And also, it'd be so awesome if you would leave a rating and review on iTunes. And you can find us on social media, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Risen Motherhood. See you guys next week.
I'm Shannon, and I donate to Risen Motherhood because they continue to point me to Jesus Christ in this season of raising littles. Join me in providing gospel-centered resources for moms through risenmotherhood.com/donate.
Risen Motherhood is a crowd-funded nonprofit, and we run on donations by women just like you. If you'd like to contribute to Risen Motherhood, please head to risenmotherhood.com/give and help us continue to provide hope of the gospel to mothers around the world. In addition, you've probably heard us say this at the beginning of the show, but if you'd like to sign up for our newsletter and keep up to date on all the things happening at Risen Motherhood, as well as get all sorts of original content that you won't find anywhere else, head to risenmotherhood.com/newsletter.